Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. Happy to have you on board as we will recap some of the stakes action from yesterday and more. A little bit later on in the show, we'll be joined by Byron King from Bloodhorse. Byron does the Derby Dozen for Bloodhorse, so I thought we'd talk some three-year-olds with him, look at his Derby Dozen, his current Derby Dozen, get some thoughts on yesterday's Sam Davis and see if that juggled things up at all for Byron. And also with the Kentucky Derby future pool closing a little bit later today, maybe we'll get some thoughts on that as well. That'll come up a little bit later on, but we'll start the show out doing a little stakes review and also a little handicapping in a few minutes. And as always at the top of the show, I'd like to thank our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program. Some of the other programming events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet, we appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. Nice stakes day at Tampa yesterday. Had a couple of nice stakes over at Oaklawn. The Gander was kind of fun in New York. And out in Northern California, El Camino Real Derby, which did offer some Derby points. But on the synthetic, you don't quite know how that's going to translate. But starting last year, last couple of years, the El Camino Real has been a win and you're in for the Preakness. And last year, that worked out very well for Rombauer. So we'll see if this year's winner, the El Camino Real Derby, can take advantage of that as well. All right, let's take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday, and we'll start things out with what was, you know, kind of, you would have to think, the highlight of the day, I suppose, with Derby points on the line. Nice full field of three-year-olds down at Tampa for the Sam Davis Grade 3 event, mile and a 16th, $250,000 up for grabs. I like number 10, Volcanic. We had Mark Cassie on yesterday. I was surprised, and let me just look at the final odds, because as I was handicapping yesterday for OTB Live, Volcanic was the longest price of the three Mark Cassie horses, and it actually changed up a little bit. God of Love did go off at 15-1. Volcanic at 8-1. Still a very good price for Volcanic. Volcanic, in the prior start to yesterday, had won at Gulfstream in a maiden event and had beaten a horse called Charge It. Charge It came back and looked great yesterday at Gulfstream just about an hour before this performance. But on the front end here is Classic Causeway, who was the 8-5 favorite. You can see Volcanic makes a move there, the number 10 horse, but can't hold off the late charge of the New York bred Shipsational, who runs second. But again, coming around the turn, top of the stretch, I thought Volcanic was making a nice move. but again, the winner, Classic Causeway, got the jump on him. And again, when I pointed him out, it looked like, I think he's going to get up and complete the exacta. But Shipsational, who got off to a poor start, closed like a freight train to be second. So Volcanic, you know, decent little third in the stakes debut. Actually, it wasn't the stakes debut. He was in the hopeful last summer. But in the three-year-old stakes debut, second start of the season, decent little third place. Shipsational, though, New York bred for Eddie Barker, had faced only New York breds in the first four starts of the career, and that included a couple of New York bred stakes wins up at Belmont. Ships down, goes to Tampa for the winter, and winds up a really nice second in there. And Eddie Barker said going to stick around for the Tampa Bay Derby. Not quite as certain what the next start might be for Classic Causeway, but it was certainly a very nice three-year-old debut for Classic Causeway. Career start number 4, and I had the buyer numbers here. Let me get the 88, solid 88 buyer for a Classic Causeway. Continuing to flatter the Kentucky Jockey Club, the Grade 2 event at Churchill back at the end of November, a couple of weeks ago and also ran in the Kentucky Jockey Club, won the LeCompte down at Fairgrounds. Last week, White Abario, who was third in the Kentucky Jockey Club last November, wins the Holy Bull down at Gulfstream. And yesterday, Classic Causeway, who finished second in the Kentucky Jockey Club, wins the Sam Davis. So now we all just have to wait for Smile Happy for Ken McPeak. And I'm looking at the PPs for this weekend's future pool. And Smile Happy, a couple of starts so far, a couple of wins, Maiden Breaker and the Kentucky Jockey Club. But he was the winner of that Kentucky Jockey Club, which has been so productive for the horses behind him. So we'll see what Smile Happy can do when he shows up to kick off his three-year-old season. But a nice win yesterday for Classic Causeway, Brian Lynch kicking off the three-year-old season in style. And again, we'll see where he winds up next. You know, the Tampa Bay Derby, I think, was in the conversation for him. Whereas Eddie Barker was ship-sational, really committed. That's his goal, come back for the Tampa Bay Derby. But Brian Lynch said, you know, the timing is going to work out. That's a possibility. So we'll see how the Tampa Bay Derby does shape up. But it was a nice addition of the Sam Davis yesterday, with things playing out kind of logically, with the 8-5 favorite winning, which, you know, bodes well for this race, you know, playing along the Kentucky Derby trail, as opposed to a real head-scratcher, you know, how'd that horse win? Classic Causeway was kind of logical. Ship-sational, who had run well, validated his talent outside of the New York Bred Stakes. And as I said, Volcanic, who had the nice Maiden Breaker just over Charge It a few weeks ago. Charge It came back and looked really good yesterday at Gulfstream and in his, again, three-year-old stakes debut. I thought Volcanic was okay running third in there. So, again, nice addition to the Sam Davis that should play along the, certainly the Tampa Derby trail, but the Kentucky Derby trail potentially as well. Potentially on the Oaks Trail in the Suncoast, the 30-cent to a dollar favorite was Nest, kind of logical, 3-5 on the morning line. Nest came into yesterday's race off of three starts as a two-year-old, broke the maiden at Belmont in September, and then they were so ambitious they stepped into the Tempted and ran a close-up third, followed that up going around two turns for the first time in the Demoiselle at Aqueduct and won that. So it's a talented runner from Todd Pletcher. Nest is going to be the number two horse, and you can see here Nest swinging to the outside and just kind of outclassing them. And Aaron Wellman from the ownership group after the race said, you know, it wasn't necessarily the strongest field, no knock on the competitors behind her, but she did it the way she was supposed to. Nest winds up with an 82 buyer yesterday and gets it done here. The chart margin is six lengths for Nest. Running second was A Little Luck in Love, the Mike Deeney runner that was coming off a stakes victory on the turf. And then third was Blame the Champagne. But Nest looks very good. And again, the owner in the post-race comments said, clearly they have to talk it over and see how the horse came out of the race, et cetera, et cetera. But the game plan may be to go to Keeneland and the Ashland next and make that then the launch pad into the Kentucky Oaks if all goes well. Also notable in the two races we've looked at so far, Classic Causeway, who was on board? Irad Ortiz. Nest, who was on board? Irad Ortiz. It was a phenomenal day down at Tampa for Irad Ortiz, who put some stakes on the resume. And that will include the one we're about to look at here, the Pelican. This race was notable because of Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda, the number three horse, gets in a duel down the stretch with number four, Bank on Shea. And Baby Yoda being Baby Yoda, you thought when they squared off here, right here, Baby Yoda starts to pull, and then, no, not quite. And Irad Ortiz on the inside on Bank on Shea, Baby Yoda, Jose Ortiz on the outside, Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda was 3-5, Bank on Shea was 7-2, and Bank on Shea comes up with the neck victory there, which Baby Yoda is one of those horses where it's hard to know what to make of the career so far. Broke the maiden in the debut at Pimlico for a claiming price. Third in the next start. Then moves into the new barn and wins up at Saratoga early in the meet for Bill Mott with a much improved buyer number. And then that freakish Saratoga performance with a 114 buyer. Olympiad Ducali came out of that race and won. Olympiad also had a big number coming out of the race, running a well-beaten second. But the 114 was just phenomenal. And so you thought, man, this is a potential superstar. Then subsequently third in the Vosburg, goes out and tries a $250,000 stake at Mahoning Valley and winds up seventh. And then I thought Baby Yoda was maybe kind of signaling, man, I'm getting back to Baby Yoda with the second to Flightline. It was a well-beaten second in the Malibu, but Flightline is Flightline. And so you thought, okay, maybe Baby Yoda's coming back. But to have that, you know, gutsy duel down the stretch and come up short yesterday, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out for Baby Yoda. But that had to be a little bit disappointing for all the connections in the mix there. However, again, we've looked at three stakes from Tampa, all three Irad Ortiz on board. And since I did bring up Flightline, the news came out yesterday, Flightline on the sidelines indefinitely. It sounded like it might not be too long. Trainer was a little concerned about the way the horse was moving, I guess, and they did some x-rays, and the x-rays were negative. You know, there was no problem there. But they thought maybe a strained muscle kind of a thing. And so Flightline is going to get some time off. So we'll keep our eyes on that situation as well. All right, finally, a little earlier in the program, there was one more stake down at Tampa, the Minaret. And I like my destiny in here. The number six horse goes off at 5-1. And I thought I had this one in the box. My destiny is the number three horse, makes a move here, and I thought is going to go right by. And my destiny's number six horse, excuse me. The three horse was the stablemate. So I take the lead here with my destiny, and I thought I was going to hold this one off. And as I say, these were uncoupled stablemates. Drop a Hint was also in my mix. He got 6-1. So it's nice, a little exacta with a couple of logicals, over $70 in the exacta. But again, it would have been a lot nicer to have the 5-1 My Destiny, who kind of pulled away there after a little duel, but just could not hold off the oncoming horse on the outside, number three, Drop a Hint. So see the 5-1 kind of about, you know, 16th of a mile out, you're thinking, I got a nice little winner there, and just got run down. The momentum went to Drop a Hint, Antonio Gallardo on board. And as I say, the uncoupled entry mates with a decent little $70 and change exacta. All right, there was the stakes action at Tampa yesterday. And again, congratulations also to Irad Ortiz for just a phenomenal day down on the west coast of Florida. Over at Oaklawn, a couple of stakes, the Razorback, excuse me, and the Biocoa. The Razorback for handicap division horses, grade three event, mile and a 16th, $600,000 up for grabs in the Razorback. It's going to be a nice duel, really a duel all the way around the track. Number eight, Plainsman, Joel Rosario on board. Number six, Thomas Shelby, David Cohen, Brad Cox versus Robertina Diodoro, and they are... They literally knocked it out all the way around the track. Running third here will be Popular Kid. But at 9-5, the favorite, it will be number eight, Plainsman, getting it done. The chart margin is a neck after a real duel, as I say, virtually all the way around the track. Plainsman was coming out of a third in the Cigar Mile behind American Revolution and following C. Three starts prior to yesterday had won the ACAC down at Churchill with a triple-digit buyer. So Plainsman looking pretty good yesterday in the follow-up to the Cigar Mile and the kickoff to the 2022 season. Now a seven-year-old for Brad Cox. We'll see what the rest of the year has in store for him. But as I say, nice way to kick it off, getting the winner's share of $600,000. Thomas Shelby had had a couple of starts already at Oaklawn this season, one at the beginning of the season in December and one about the middle of January. He was in the tinsel in December and ran a close-up second, and then he was a close-up third in the fifth season back in January and winds up a close-up second again for Robertina Diodoro and one of his main clients, M&M Racing. So fun addition of the Razorback yesterday at Oaklawn, and a little bit earlier on the card, the Biakoa. I like Coach in here. When Coach started, started her four-year-old season, really ended her three-year-old season, but it was off a layoff at the beginning of the Oaklawn meet in the middle of December. She had been off since a ninth-place finish in the Kentucky Oaks, and I was in here handicapping that day, and I wasn't necessarily thrilled with her. She went off at 3-2. She won the comeback in December, an optional claimer at Oaklawn. The buyer was, you know, a mediocre 79. Then she came back in the Pippin. And with those buyers, I was still a little bit unconvinced, but she had won so nicely, I kind of tilted towards her in the Pippin back in the beginning of January. And it, as the 8-5 favorite, she won the Pippin pretty easily and had a 91 buyer. So yesterday, I like Coach. Coach is the number 7 here. And at this point in the race, you kind of feel like, oh, Coach is in a good spot. Well, not so much. On the inside, Miss Bigley, and you can see here, Coach is not going to get it done. Miss Bigley, however, comes from between, and at 5-1 winds up getting it done. And you can see Coach fades to 4th in here. Running second will be number 3, She's All Wolf, and Jilted Bride, number 4, runs 3rd. She's All Wolf, 36-1 rank outsider in the field, completes a juicy, $320 exacta. Miss Bigley went off at 5-1. Miss Bigley was a player. I didn't use Miss Bigley in my mix yesterday, but when I was doing the handicapping show, I said, you know, you could make a case for that one and finish second to Coach in the Pippin in the previous start. Miss Bigley, a 7-time winner before yesterday, a 7-time winner in 25 starts, had almost $500,000 in the bank for Phil D'Amato. And clearly playable. As I say, I didn't use that one in my mix, but when we were doing the handicapping show yesterday, look up at the board, you saw 5-1. That was a horse that you certainly could have thought about and played around with a little bit. So nice win there for Phil D'Amato, Ramon Vasquez. Chart margin was a length and a quarter. Again, the odds of 5-1, 1280 was the price on the winner in the Bayakoa. The story there probably was more notably the fourth place finish by Coach, who, again, when we picked up our replay at what about the furlong pole, looked like, ah, Coach is in a pretty good spot here, and then fades to be a, you know, disappointing fourth. So we'll see where those horses bounce out and rebound to. You would think, you know, Apple Blossom is on the agenda for good older fillies and mares down at Oaklawn off of decent performances. So really, top four, we're kind of right there. So we'll see where they wind up in their follow-ups. Aqueduct yesterday, I said it when I was doing the handicapping show, OTB Live, I had put together a pick, the cross-country pick five ticket. And the cross-country pick five yesterday was kind of fun. Aqueduct race, Tampa races, Oaklawn races, all stakes. And it was fun. And it looked like, to start the sequence, it was the Nest race down at Tampa. And so I singled Nest. And it was this Gander was the second race in the sequence. And I singled Bold Journey. And I said, they seem like two horses you can lean on. And it allowed me to go a little bit deeper in the next few legs. And so Nest got home and got the first single home. And as we got ready to go to the Gander, I said, you know, you're always rolling the dice a little bit with some singles, but it does allow you to spread out a little more underneath. And I said, if I get past this one, then I have a few horses in the remaining legs. It was just a small ticket. But, you know, you're always rooting for those singles. Well, I used Bold Journey on top in this Gander. Bold Journey's going to be the number 7 horse. And I'm home. I'm thinking, great. I got my first two legs home here. My first two singles. As Bold Journey is just kind of loping along on the lead, as easy as can be. I mean, even here, you think, I got this. Oh, wait a minute. And Barisi, who was one of the logical contenders to Bold Journey, gets up and gets it done. As Bold Journey just kind of says, yeah, Miles not for me. Bold Journey's first couple of starts were at 6 furlongs. So the stretch out to the mile was maybe about at least a half a furlong too long. Barisi, as they say, if you were looking for alternatives in the race, Gino, who wound up running third in there, and Barisi were certainly plays. Barisi for Mike Maker had been 2-for-2 in the career, had won the Rego Park in the prior starts, already a state bred stakes winner with only a couple of starts under the belt. The numbers were a little bit lighter than the best by Bold Journey, but that was an obvious alternative. But I think I saw Andy Serling said, and I kind of agree, it wasn't so much Barisi won the race as Bold Journey lost the race, because Bold Journey had this one in his back pocket. And then, it was about a 16th of a mile too far for that one. And literally, well, not literally, but pretty close to literally, threw out the anchor and got reeled in by Barisi. So for all of you out there who, like me, had singled Bold Journey, I feel your pain, because that was a rough situation there where you kind of had to feel like, oh, my ticket's home. And just got it reeled in, as they say, coming down to the last 100 yards or so of the wire. Goes, and you can see the momentum there. You knew you went from elation to, oh, this isn't good, in about three strides in the Gander yesterday. But nice win for Barisi, trained again by Mike Maker, Dylan Davis on board, who having a really nice meet down there. Finally, I want to take a look at the El Camino Real Derby, which went off, our time? About 7:30 last night, our time, 4:30 out in Northern California, out at Golden Gate. And again, there's synthetic out there, so it's hard to know how this would play into the Kentucky Derby. But it's a win and you're into the Preakness, and last year Rombauer made the double work for him. We will see this year as far as the winner and the Kentucky Derby. Well, once again, it's a Bob Baffert horse. The winner here is going to be Black Adder from Bob Baffert. Number 4 over number 2, McKinnon. McKinnon was the 30-cent to a dollar favorite, the 3-to-5 favorite, 60-cent to a dollar favorite. 7-to-2 for Black Adder, the winner, as the second choice. Chart margin winds up to be a neck. McKinnon will not give up easily, and on the inside, Black Adder grinds it out, as I say, by a neck. Delmo runs third. But again, it is a Bob Baffert horse. He walked away with derby points there. If you're not Bob Baffert, Bob Baffert horses don't get derby points. We will see how this whole Baffert situation works out. He has Newgrange and Messier and now Black Adder. Fourth start of the career, broke the maiden in the third start of the career at Santa Anita at a mile last time in an off-the-turf event, then comes to the synthetic and successfully negotiates that. McKinnon had a nice little resume, including a couple of stakes victories, the Del Mar Juvenile Turf, the Zuma Beach. Those were both on the turf, so went off again as the favorite yesterday, moving from the turf to the synthetic, and got it done, as I say, on turf in a couple of stakes races. And as, again, didn't give it up easily, but winds up a close-up second in there as the 3-to-5 favorite. You got $9.60, however, on Blackadder as the 7-to-2 second choice, getting it done under Edwin Maldonado for Bob Baffert. All right. And again, it is a win and you're in, so we'll see. As things stand now, no derby for Blackadder, but Preakness certainly is a possibility. All right, we'll take a break. Again, a little bit later on, we will be joined by Byron King from the Blood Horse. We'll talk three-year-olds. We'll get his opinion on the Sam Davis yesterday. We'll talk his Derby Dozen, which appears in the Blood Horse. We'll get some of his thoughts on this weekend's Kentucky Derby future pool and more. But before that, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do a little handicapping for Sunday afternoon. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Don't forget, about an hour and a half or so, we will kick off an OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. We'll take a look at some of the racing action on Sunday. I have a little aqueduct in Oak Lawn in my sights. We'll pull a third track in there as well. We'll have more here on the network. I'll be handicapping the three. Decent day yesterday. I don't have the results pulled up, but... As I signed off yesterday, I wanted to say the various tracks. It was a pretty good day at Tampa. The various tracks had probably a dozen winners on top out of, what do we have, maybe 27 races, something. At the time I signed off, it was a little more than that by the end of the day. So decent day yesterday. If you were following along and picked up the one sheet, we'll see if we can keep things rolling on Sunday afternoon. We'll take a little early look. Again, no scratches yet, but we'll take an early look at the Pick 5 at Oaklawn. The Pick 5 today down at Oaklawn kicks off in their race number 5, which is a maiden claimer going 6. And again, I don't have a specific Pick 5 ticket picked out, but we'll just kind of go through the sequence, toss out some ideas. 5th at Oaklawn, I have it 6, 7, 10, and 2. I put Abdan on top. Just looks obvious in here. Off of the early season start here at Oaklawn. That was back in December. Second place finish claimed out of that. I'm not thrilled that they're taking this long to come back, but they come back for 12.5. They pick the horse up for 10. That, to me, it says, that's all right. There have been some workouts since the claim. They're okay. They aren't great. Was claimed away from Robertina Diodoro. So, point being, I could kind of go either way with this horse, but I just looked at the rest of the field, and I think this horse probably doesn't even have to be in tip-top form and still has an edge on most of these. Tango Kilo in the second spot. Hasn't been seen since last year at Tampa, the last season, back in February of 2021. So another one that's been on the sidelines for a little bit. Abdan is, in this day and age, that's not much of a layoff. But Tango Kilo, a year on the sidelines, that does count. But showed some nice improvement in the last start when dropped in for a tag. Does come back for an even reduced tag today, and again, that's a concern. We'll see what Tango Kilo can do, but off of the last start before this horse went to the sidelines, seems like a player in with a relatively weak bunch here. Time for a Woodford in the third spot. Hasn't been seen since September. We have a theme going here, but again, there is some back class, so to speak, going main special weight to maiden claiming. But the drop is enough that it's also, I'm not quite sure. And as I say, it's kind of a theme. Worth the Money, also maiden special weight to maiden claiming, also off a layoff, last seen at Canterbury in June for Mac Robertson. But also, there's some class there. Remember Normandy? This one has some recency, 30-1 on the morning line. I could make a little case for the Nick Zito horse if you're looking for an alternative to those. As I say, with a little more recency, maybe that one's interesting. Same scenario on the outside with Cat's Got a Chance, the 12 horse at 30-1. Was well beaten last time, but it was January 22nd. It was against State Bred Maiden Specials. Probably an okay fit with this bunch. So there are some alternatives that may offer a little more value. Paul Holthus has Blues Tune, who comes in with some recency. First-time gelding symbol and some class relief. Been on a sloppy or a muddy track in the last two. So the five is intriguing as well. So it's a tough way to start out the pick five sequence down at Oaklawn. I have it 6, 7, 10, and 2 in the fifth. Race number 6 at Oaklawn. This afternoon, starter allowance types going 3/4 of a mile. I have a 9, 11, 4, and 5. Number 9 is Devil's Tower. Couple of nice wins in the last three starts, bookend a poor performance, and the poor performance was a starter allowance. The two nice performances were conditional claimers. So class-wise, you kind of wonder how this horse is going to stack up today, but I'm just looking at this field. I think he's okay in here, but that race two back against starter allowance types does give pause for cause. But I'm going to go in that direction, looking at 9-2 on the morning line. I think this is a pretty competitive race, and we should get some value. U.S. Steel, second off the claim for Robertino Diodoro. First off the claim was at this level. Disappointed a little bit running fifth, but I will... I'll kind of hope the barn maybe use that to figure the horse out and move forward. There are back numbers that are good enough to match up with this bunch. Herd Immunity in the third spot, the number 4 horse. Another one that tried this kind of company last time and disappointed a little bit in a first start off the claim. But like U.S. Steel, there are back numbers that if we get to put this horse right in the thick of things. And the last for this one was the first start at Oaklawn. Maybe that experience will... move the horse forward a little bit. Ribbons and Medals underneath comes in off some nice improving form. The buyer's going in the right direction over the last three starts. Sixth at Oaklawn, 9, 11, 4, and 5. Seventh race at Oaklawn, we're looking at maiden claimers going 6. I have it 7, 2, 5, and 12. Number 7 is Rio Lady. Gormley's an interesting sire of win early types. Trainer Jimmy DeVito can have them ready. Limited sample, but can have them ready. Get the apprentice on board. He's riding well. Steady string of workouts. Wouldn't be surprised to see a good first out effort from this one. With experience, ain't she a pistol? 6 starts. So far hasn't gotten it done. And the last two finishes, fourth place finishes. Claimed, though, 2 back for 30. They tried 50,000 claimers last time. They dropped back to 30 today. I just thought the numbers this horse typically throws, as compared to the other horses in this race that have experience, they're pretty good and maybe give this horse a little bit of an edge. That said, this may be the race to look for a fresh face. And another one of those is Exculpate for Steve Asmussen by Blame. Workouts aren't screaming anything, but at a maiden claiming level, you don't really expect that. There are a couple of bullets underneath, but they aren't stellar. But it is Steve Asmussen, again, with a horse that in a race where I don't think you're going to have to be a superstar, could be a little bit live. And Race Day Attire, another one with some experience under the belt. Boy, the last race wasn't much, but the 1-2 back was good enough to be right there with this group. So, 7th at Oaklawn, 7, 2, 5, and 12. Race number 8 at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. It's an optional claim with a money condition, 8.5 furlongs. I have it 7, 2, 3, and 1. Willful Woman on top. Tried Stakes Company 2 back in the Mistletoe and ran 4th, and then dropped to this level last time and ran 4th again. both of the numbers were pretty good as compared to this particular bunch, and maybe give this horse a little bit of an edge on, as I say, the buyers this horse is running over the past few starts. Steve Asmussen and the Leblancs, we'll look for that one to get it done under Joel Rosario. Break Curfew in the second slot. Fourth last time, fifth two starts back, third three back, and we're kind of hoping maybe to get to that. That was at Churchill. The last two, which were a little more mediocre, were at Oaklawn. So we'll see if this horse can break through in the third start at Oaklawn this season and make a little noise. Sunpath goes out for Brad Cox. That will attract some attention from the bettors. Comes in off a fairly decent little workout, just about 4 days ago. I think that's a little notable that they had the work and then bounce in for the race. And again, lately raced in the hunt far more often than not with five trifecta finishes and seven career starts. Blinkers come off today off a Blinkers experiment last time that clearly was an unsuccessful experiment. So Sunpath is also very playable in the eighth at Oaklawn, 7-2-3-1. And finally, we wind up that late pick five sequence at Oaklawn this afternoon. Our time, it'll go off 6:10, approximately. The ninth race at Oaklawn. Statebred, Archibred, maiden claimers going 3/4 of a mile. I went 1:10, 3, and 5. Kilgore on top for Ron Maquette. A couple of decent buyers, you know, comparatively speaking, decent buyers in the first couple of starts, both at Oaklawn this season. The maiden claiming start two back was the better of the two. Last time tried Statebred Main Special Company. Back in for the tag today. Should rebound this one. Aloe Henry in the second spot. I wonder if that is a play on a French accent. Aloe Henry. I'm guessing it is. Although, as I'm looking at the sire in the dam, I don't see any French references there, but I'm thinking that's got to be what they're going with. But this one, certainly on the numbers, again, really solid match with this bunch. Steps out of that Statebred Maiden Company, Statebred Maiden Special Company, into a maiden claimer. And we saw the difference. You know, you just look at Kilgore and you see the difference it made for Kilgore. I would expect similar for Aloe Henry. Third spot, I'll use You Can't Make This Stuff Up. Pretty good looking debut for Federico Villafranco, right in and around this level. Comes into this off that race, which was led into with a couple of bullet works and kind of lived up to it with the second place finish. So I would, and 4-1 took a little action. I wouldn't be surprised to see this one take some action again today and run well again today also. In the ninth at Oaklawn, 1:10, 3, and 5. All right, that gives you some ideas for Oaklawn for this Sunday afternoon. We will look live a little bit later on with OTB Live. And again, that'll be about an hour and a half or so. We will kick that off. But now we'll go to a break. When we come back from the break, we will be joined by Byron King from the Blood Horse. He does the Derby Dozen for the Blood Horse. So I thought we'd talk a little three-year-old action with him, get thoughts on the Sam Davis, look at his Derby Dozen, maybe get some ideas on the Kentucky Derby Future Pool. All of that and more right after this. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front! They're coming down to the finish! Can Smarty Jones hold on? Bridgestone surges past! Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes!
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, Byron King from the Blood Horse. He does the Derby Dozen and more. Covered a lot of the stakes action yesterday. You can catch his work at bloodhorse.com. Byron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board. Before we get to, I've been asking everybody this weekend that I've had on, before we get to some of the three-year-old conversation, any thoughts on Thursday night's Eclipse Awards? And I've said to everybody, I don't know whether anybody had anything really, because it seemed like it played out. There wasn't a whole lot of controversy this year. It played out pretty much. I mean, my ballot, I missed the sprinter because I thought Flightline was very impressive. So I went in that direction, but no argument with Jackie's Warrior. And I went in another direction with the Apprentice Jockey. But again, I have no argument with Miss Pfeiffer. So I was pretty much on board, as I think a lot of people were. But any thoughts on the Eclipse Awards?
I'm totally with you. In fact, I think our votes were pretty similar. I also voted for Flightline. I just thought he was just super brilliant and really special. But at the same time, obviously, Jackie's Warrior had a great year and no doubt had some great qualifications aside from his club in the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, there weren't a lot of shocks. You know, I think some people kind of thought maybe Medina Spirit might give Essential Quality more of a run for that title. But I think with all the Baffert baggage, that was a fairly clear-cut win in the end.
Yeah, I think that had to affect a lot of voters. I think a lot of folks didn't want to pull the trigger with that situation still being up in the air, which is a story in and of itself. But and again, Baffert, talking three-year-olds, the whole Baffert story, because I didn't pull up, I talked about it earlier on the show, I didn't pull it up, but he won the El Camino Real Derby. And in Messier last week, the Baffert situation, it's going to be kind of intriguing to see how it plays out. But on a more happier note, the Sam Davis winner definitely is eligible for the Kentucky Derby, and we'll see if that's how it shakes out as we continue down the road. I showed this one earlier. I talked a little bit about it, but I'd love to get your thoughts because you wrote about it for the Blood Horse as well. With an 88 buyer, Classic Causeway gets it done. I thought the New York bred Shipsational looked very good, and Eddie Barker, I guess, is coming back for the Tampa Bay Derby, but Shipsational makes a nice late run. I played around with Volcanic, and we're looking at the stretch run here. He's coming up the rail. He's coming up the inside-ish, and I thought he was going to complete the exacta, but couldn't hold off Shipsational, but they were all well behind Classic Causeway, who not only wins his three-year-old debut, but as I noted earlier, just continues to flatter that Kentucky Jockey Club. Just that is turning out, you talk about a key race. But what were your thoughts on the Sam Davis?
Well, I share many of your views. You know, I thought Classic Causeway was outstanding. You know, he broke like a shot. I mean, he must have been a length or two in front after about 100 yards. And seems like no matter, it seems to me when a horse breaks like that, they just almost always seem to run one of their best races. It's just like they've got their mind on racing and just really, the jock doesn't have to really work to place them. And he ran great, you know. He took pressure from a stretch-out sprinter and put him away and then won nicely, as you noted, in fast time. And Shipsational, the New York bred, I mean, his first start going two turns, he, in contrast, was off a little bit slowly. And, I mean, he was eighth into the first turn. Yeah. And you know, when you look at his form, that's not how he had customarily run. So for him to come on and run a fine second, very encouraging. I mean, that's a very good New York bred. And Volcanic, as you mentioned, he was coming off a maiden win at Gulfstream. And that was a nice first step for him. But, you know, some of the others, you know, Make It Big, disappointed in the race. Golden Glider was kind of a non-impact, but I think clearly going forward from this race, at least in my mind, you know, Classic Causeway is one to clearly watch. And Shipsational, I think, is one that now gets thrown into the mix as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of a homer, so I like to root for the New York Breds, and that was just fun to see him step out of the New York Bred stakes company and get it done in open company yesterday with it was kind of a visually impressive performance coming down the stretch. No threat to the winner, but and again, as I said, boy, that Kentucky Jockey Club just phenomenal. A couple of weeks ago, LeCompte in the LeCompte, and also ran from the Kentucky Jockey Club, gets it done. Last week, Waita Barrio in the Holy Bull gets it done, having run third in the Kentucky Jockey Club, and yesterday, Classic Causeway. And again, maybe Webster can now put under key race in the definition category, the Kentucky Jockey Club of 2021. And now we're all just waiting to see what Smile Happy does when he returns to the races.
Right, exactly. And Smile Happy was the winner of that race, won it with authority. He has entered back in the Risen Star Stakes. They've already drawn it. They draw like a week early at Fairgrounds, and that's a loaded field. I've got five of my Derby Dozen horses are running in the Risen Star, so you've got Smile Happy. You know, you've got Zandon, who was a fine runner-up in the Remsen, and perhaps best in the Remsen in a, you know, a rather roughly run stretch drive. And then you've got some other good horses like Slow Down Andy, and then the locals there, Epicenter and Papa Cap. I mean, it's getting fun now. You know, we're starting to see these three-year-olds. You know, a lot of them lay low in December and January, understandably. But now you start getting February, March, we start to see these horses, and it starts to get rather exciting, obviously.
Yeah, we just watched the stretch run to that Kentucky Jockey Club with Smile Happy looking dominant in there, and now knowing what the second and third place finishers and also Rans did, it is going to be fun to see Smile Happy come back to the track. And I pulled up your Derby Dozen. I'll start out and get an opinion. Pulled up your Derby Dozen from the Blood Horse, and people can pull that up on the Blood Horse website. And what day do you update that?
It comes out every Tuesday.
So all right.
Tuesday about midday.
All right. So we'll look for that on Tuesday. And the first question I have is on the current Derby Dozen, Classic Causeway is number 11. I'm assuming you are anticipating a move up the list for Classic Causeway.
Yes, I would anticipate that very much. I mean, obviously, you know, the ones in front of them haven't necessarily been in action to where there's no clear horse that would drop out of the ones in front of him, but clearly I think his stock rose on the strength of that race, and he's got to move up. And he's also just a rather impressive horse, and kind of a cool story too, that he's part of just the final crop from Giant's Causeway. Yeah. There were only three foals born by him before he died, and they were bred in 2018, and then they were born in 2019. So pretty amazing that this horse is part of his final three.
Yeah, I read that in your follow-up to the race yesterday, and that is very interesting. One of the nice side stories, and Brian Lynch said the group that owns them are an interesting group of characters, so it'll be fun to kind of follow them along as well. We talked about Smile Happy. And I think a lot of people are putting him now, given the Kentucky Jockey Club situation, at the top of their list. But you have him number two. And on top, you have Rattle and Roll. I'm going to pull up Rattle and Roll's Futurity, Breeders' Futurity from Keeneland back on October 9th. Another Ken McPeak runner. Rattle and Roll is going to be the number six horse here getting it done. Talk a little bit about Rattle and Roll and why you have him in the number one slot.
Well, this race was a visually impressive race. He was maybe sixth or seventh entering the second turn, and he literally blows by everyone, including Classic Causeway, before they even hit the top of the stretch. And then he pours it on there down the lane to win rather handily. It was really a good-looking performance in Grade One company. And just as Classic Causeway flattered the form of Smile Happy from the Kentucky Jockey Club, so too does he do it, I think, here for Rattle and Roll, which I was kind of glad to see, because some of the other horses out of this particular race, the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, hadn't run especially well, but clearly Rattle and Roll ran a great race. He was supposed to run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but he had a physical setback, forced him to miss the race. Unfortunately, he's a little bit behind some of the others. He's not quite as forward in his training, so he doesn't have a lot of margin for error. But he's expected to come back in the Tampa Bay Derby in about a month or so. And I think, you know, provided he runs well there, he should get one more prep in him. And he should be ready to head to Churchill Downs, where he has already won a two-turn maiden race. So I think this is just a horse that wants to run long, that is clearly a talented sort. And assuming he doesn't have any hiccups between now and then, I think we're going to see big things from him.
Yeah, and the win over the track is certainly a bonus as well, as is the fact that, you know, those horses coming out of that Kentucky Jockey Club all have good performances over the track as well. In the third spot, you have Zandon. I agree with your thoughts there. Coming out of the Remsen, I like both Mo Donegal and Zandon. I thought both of those had the potential to move on to a good three-year-old season. And I thought Mo Donegal last week, third in the Holy Bull, I thought it was maybe a better performance than that third might indicate. So I'm you know, kind of giving him a little bit of a pass on the third place finish. So interested to see what Zandon does. But we're going to take a look now at the Holy Bull last week, because I'd like some thoughts also on White Abario, who I kind of admit I overlooked a little bit in here, but boy, not coming out of the race, because White Abario will be the number 8 horse. The chart margin, 4.5 lengths at 6-1. Simplification, the number 4, runs second. And again, Mo Donegal, nice late run, the number 2 to run third in here. But your thoughts on White Abario last week in the Holy Bull?
Well, he was dominant. He was outstanding. And now he did enjoy a pretty nice trip. He was up close to what was a modest pace. And he took advantage on the fact that probably that Simplification broke poorly and was not in his usual position up near the lead. But having said that, I mean, this horse has only lost one time, and that being a third place finish in the Kentucky Jockey Club. And in that particular race, he didn't have the greatest of trips. He was eased back, kind of was in traffic, took some dirt in his face, and still ran a fine third. So this horse is legit, and he's fast, and he's clearly a major, major player. He's supposed to likely sit out the next big round in Florida, that being the Fountain of Youth, and await the Florida Derby in early April as his prep into the Kentucky Derby. But legit any way you look at him.
Yeah, and you have him sitting now at number 4, and at number 5 is Mo Donegal. So I'm assuming you thought that third place finish was okay as well.
I did. I thought I kind of saw mixed signals from him in that particular race. What I did like from him was the same thing you pointed out, Seth, in terms of how he finished. He finished very well down the stretch, and the Holy Bull is a short stretch at Gulfstream. They finish at what is customarily the 16th pole, because the track's 1.8 miles in circumference and the Holy Bull's 1.16 miles. But I thought that was a very good race. The one thing I didn't like about it so much is he just didn't really quicken on the second turn when some of the other horses, such as Simplification, kind of took off. But I definitely liked how he ran down the stretch. And of course, Churchill Downs has a rather long one, so that would seemingly benefit him.
Yeah, that was one of those performances, as I say, I'm kind of giving him a pass. I want to see his next start and see what he can do there. But I thought the third was maybe better than it looks on paper. I want to touch on one more on your Derby dozen. I'm going down to number 8, Emmanuel. We're going to take a look at the allowance optional claiming win at Tampa Bay Downs on January 30th. This was the second career start, coming out of a nice maiden breaker for Todd Pletcher over at Gulfstream in the middle of December. He's now 2-for-2. And again, the chart margin here, 4.5 lengths, as the 30-cent to a dollar favorite gets it done. Again, you've got him sitting at number 8. Your thoughts on Emmanuel?
Well, clearly he has done nothing wrong. Two sharp, good-looking wins. And the mere fact that he ran at Tampa, which, you know, in most people's mind, at least when we're not talking about the graded races like the Sam F. Davis, you know, it's a B-level track, right? Maybe a cut right behind Gulfstream or so. But this is a place where Todd Pletcher likes to run some of his promising three-year-olds. In fact, both of his Derby winners, Always Dreaming, you know, Always Dreaming won a maiden race, I believe, there. So it's very similar that he would run something like that. And Super Saver also ran at Tampa, but Stakes Company, his other Derby winner. So I think this was merely an educational kind of race, and I think from this, we'll see him probably come back in a major stakes race, probably in Florida, would be my guess.
Yeah, it certainly was a nice win, you know, 2 for 2. And you would have to think, yeah, stakes would be next because they got to get some points if they're thinking Kentucky Derby. I have to ask, I know yesterday you were busy covering stakes races and whatnot and writing for the Blood Horse, but I have to ask, we kind of touched on it earlier when we talked about Volcanic. Volcanic won the maiden race prior to yesterday, Sam Davis, over a horse called Charge It. Charge It came back about 45 minutes before the Sam Davis. He came back at Gulfstream yesterday. Man, he was impressive for Todd Pletcher. Did you get a chance to see Charge It and any thoughts?
I did, and he looked really, really good. I mean, he ran, I believe, 135 and change, a good-looking performance. I saw Mike Welsh from the Daily Racing Forum tweeted that Pletcher, who was at Gulfstream, indicated that he would at least consider a stakes race for him next. Clearly, this horse doesn't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of he's kind of late on the scene, but talent-wise, he's loaded. And even the debut, he was only narrowly beaten. So that was a very strong effort to run as well as he did first time out against Volcanic. And clearly, he has a lot of upside. He's by Tappet. He's got a beautiful pedigree. He's got Todd Pletcher training him. I mean, plenty of blue sky for him. Just a matter of, you know, can he put it together? He can't afford any miscues, obviously, with just a few months to go.
Yeah, in the 21st century, it is a different Derby trail from when I started, with a lot of horses still with no points. I mean, the whole point system, and some horses like Smile Happy, for instance, hasn't started yet this year. But horses like this getting maybe a little bit of a late start. But we've seen some of these late debuters kind of make some noise in the Derby and more over the past few years. But, boy, he looked good yesterday. Before we let you go, also wanted to just get some ideas. If you saw anything that kind of jumped out on the Kentucky Derby future pool that ends a little bit later today, I was looking a little bit earlier. Classic Causeway at 11-1. In any of these future pools, I'm looking for 20-25-1 or better. But I still thought off the win yesterday, that looked maybe a little bit generous. Rattle and Roll, who you have at the top of your list, 23-1. I'm going to jump in. If all others stays at 2-1, I have to admit I'm going to take a little shot. I think 2-1 is kind of fair that there may be a fresh face out there like Charge It. So I think the 2-1 could be intriguing there. But as you look down at the odds on the future pool, anything jump out?
Well, I see some of the same points that you made. I think, you know, these kind of pools, in my mind, tend to get bet. They have a little bit of recency bias.
Yeah.
So people naturally will jump on a Classic Causeway or whoever would have won over the weekend, that kind of a thing. So I would say if I were looking for a little value, I might take a shot with maybe somebody that would be returning next week or something to where their odds haven't yet dropped if you think they're going to run well. So, you know, I think Zandon is interesting at 23-1, given that he's going to be running in the Risen Star coming up right away, and you'll have a chance to potentially see him run there and have his stock rise. And I think, you know, he's one that would intrigue me. Rattle and Roll as well, since he's obviously my number one. But some of these, I think, are a little shorter than I anticipated. I didn't honestly think that early voting would be 17-1 coming out of, although he was been dominant and won nicely in New York last week. I don't think he beat the same kind of caliber of competition of some of these others. But yeah, I think Rattle and Roll and Zandon are the ones that look like value to me as I look at the odds board. But historically, going in a direction like taking all other 3-year-olds has been a good move. And if something wild happens, such as these Baffert horses that are not currently involved in the 23 individual choices, you know, they're lumped in here. So if one of them gets transferred to another trainer and then they get to run in the Derby, you would have a deeper squad by taking the all others.
Yeah, we doing the handicapping show yesterday, my colleague Brian Adho and I were kind of speculating on just that. Or does some legal maneuvering get the Baffert horses in somehow, and all of a sudden, all others, you have Messier potentially in there, and some of those other horses. So I wondered if that would take some of the value. Would people be thinking along those lines? So that is intriguing there. And you mentioned early voting. I'll get your thought, because I was quickly looking over your Derby Dozen, and I saw he wasn't in there. So you may have the same opinion I do. First of all, I totally agree. The 17-1 is way too short on him. But I will say, when I watched the race last week, when I came out of the races at the end of the day, to me, he was the most impressive, visually impressive. But by the time the next day rolled around and the numbers came out, I kind of changed things up, and I wasn't quite as thrilled with him, and I was a little more in the White of Barrio camp on the day. But what were your thoughts overall on the performance by early voting?
Well, he would be the only one coming out of the race that I would be intrigued by. In my mind, he just toyed with those other horses. I mean, he seemed to me to be, even though he won by, you know, a handful of lengths, he was toying with his opposition. He seemed like he was drifting in and out a little bit. I think clearly he was just waiting on somebody to test him. So I think he's got talent, but as you mentioned, the race was slow, and he's going to have to run a lot faster. And just as a general rule, I know, you know, when you look at these races historically, you know, the better horses, for the most part, head south in the wintertime. Yeah. And so as a result, you know, the preps that are in more, you know, cooler northern states tend not to get the cream until, you know, early April starts running around. So I think the jury is still out on early voting.
Yeah, I'm with you there, as I say. When I looked, it was visually impressive. And as you say, he may just have been enough better than that field that there is still some blue sky ahead for him. We'll see in the next start. But always a lot of fun this time of year. As I say, this is kind of Derby season is our equivalent to, you know, some of the other sports, where I think you get to, you know, summer and fall and maybe early winter for the 3-year-old or 2-year-olds. It's kind of the regular season. And then you have kind of the early playoffs, January and February, and you get to those final couple of rounds in March and maybe early April, and then you have the finals in the Kentucky Derby. So it gives us kind of that season to root for. It's always a lot of fun. Part of the fun, Byron, is looking at your Derby Dozen in the Blood Horse. Appreciate your visit this morning. And with the Derby Dozen, we'll check back in with you as the Derby trail progresses.
I would be delighted to be back on. Thank you for having me today.
Appreciate it. From the Blood Horse, Byron King. And again, you can find the Derby Dozen every Tuesday coming out in the Blood Horse, bloodhorse.com. Always a lot of fun and a great way to keep up with the Derby trail. Again, this is that time of year where it's Derby trail action virtually every weekend. And this weekend it was the Sam Davis Classic Causeway, looking very good, taking his early steps on the Derby trail. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, I'll be back in, as I say, at this point about an hour or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Lots of great action still ahead on a Sunday. Always want to thank our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet. We appreciate their support. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. We'll go to the pregame shows down at Gulfstream, a little bit after that over at NYRA, and then kick off racing for a Sunday afternoon. And I will be back for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.